Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
So we have received gifts, and each of us have. And if you haven't, I want to say, don't be afraid to receive whatever gift God has for you. You might be listening to me up to this point. You're going, okay, so the gifts of the Spirit, and you're talking about tongues, and so I might pray and God might give me tongues, and then I could go to McDonald's and order my food in tongues, and how's that gonna look?
If you are a child of God and the Holy Spirit now resides in you, then you have been given gifts of the Spirit. And the Bible tells us we're to use these gifts to build up the church, to serve and encourage one another. If you aren't using your gifts, we hope you listen to today's message and pray about how God might use you to do amazing things for His church. With Romans 12, 4 through 8, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. The title of our message is Embracing Your Spiritual Gift. God loves to give gifts to His children. Just like we love to give gifts to our children, God loves to give gifts to us. He has given us the gift of salvation. He's given us the gift of forgiveness, the gift of eternity. We could go on the different gifts God's given us. In fact, the Bible says in James chapter 1, every good and perfect gift has come down from the Father of lights. But one of the most significant gifts that God has given us is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to His disciples, I'm going away, but I will not leave you orphaned. I am going to send you another helper. And then it says, this He spoke of the Holy Spirit that would be given. God has given us the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit works in three different ways in our lives. First of all, it is with us before we ever make a decision to follow Jesus. If you're here today and you haven't committed your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit is here with you. And He is convincing you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That you are a sinner, that there is righteousness that is available by the blood of Jesus upon the cross. And if you don't take care of it, that you're going to be judged. So it's essential for you to take care of it. The Holy Spirit worked with every one of us before we came to Jesus. Otherwise, we wouldn't have come to Him. Then you get born again. You commit your life to Christ. You are transformed. Now the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of you. God's Spirit actually moves in. The Bible says no one can say that Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. That means there is not a Christian on the face of this earth that doesn't have the Holy Spirit. I point that out because eventually you'll run into someone who will say, well, I don't know, that church doesn't have the Holy Spirit. I say, wrong. I understand what you're saying when you say they don't have the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, that church does have the Holy Spirit. Those people have the Holy Spirit in them, or they would not be born again. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that you have been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Jesus took His disciples aside. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That was after His resurrection, in the transition between being an Old Testament saint, the Old Testament covenant, and the New Testament saint, and the New Testament covenant. That's when they were born again. So every one of you in here that has been born again, that's given your life to Jesus, you guys have the Holy Spirit inside of you. However, there is a way, a third way, at which the Holy Spirit works with, comes upon you that you might not have. Acts chapter 8 tells us that the church there in Samaria had received Jesus, they'd given their lives to the Lord, but they had never received the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And when they were asked about it, they said, we never even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. And so they laid hands on them and they prayed for them. And there was such a powerful work that happened that a sorcerer tried to buy the ability to pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Acts calls this what I call the upon experience. People call it receive the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there is some controversy in the church as to whether or not the experience is valid for our day. Certainly there's no question of whether or not it's valid for the days of, you know, the apostles, but they question whether it's valid for today. I believe it is, because Acts chapter 2 says when they were explaining what was happening on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given, Peter said, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel, who said that in the last days, the Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh from generation to generation, as many generations as there are afar off. He could have worded that any way he wanted to word it, but here we are, a generation afar off, and we still have the Holy Spirit operating today. Now, the gift of the Spirit, the upon experience of the Holy Spirit, is to empower you. I like the term baptism because it helps us understand what it means. It is the anointing of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was with you. The Holy Spirit's in you at the moment you're born again. And then the Holy Spirit anoints you to do what God calls you to do. It's as if He's poured over your life to empower you to do the work that He wants in your life. Now, we've talked so far about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now let's talk about the gifts of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is with us and brings us to Jesus and is in us when we're born again and then falls upon us when we begin to do things for Him, God wants to give us a manifestation that we have received the Holy Spirit. That is a gift that comes with the Holy Spirit. We've been imparted the gift of the Spirit. Now the Spirit gives us gifts. Those gifts are listed in Romans chapter 12, which we are at today, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, some of them are listed in the book of Ephesians. And there's a list that I don't know if it is a conclusive list of the different gifts that are given. I believe that all of the gifts are still available today. I don't believe that any of the gifts have been taken away. The idea is that some of the sign gifts were not for today. The gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy, the gift of miracles, and the gifts of healings are not for today. They were only for the first century church during the days of the apostles. I don't believe that. I believe all of the gifts are for today. I believe in the gift of tongues. I pray in tongues. I have the gift of tongues. You guys will never hear me pray in tongues because we don't have an interpreter here. And there are non-believers that are here, and unless there's an interpreter, the Bible says, keep silent in the church. It even tells us if some non-believer comes in and you all are speaking in tongues, they're going to think you're crazy. And I'll tell you what, that has happened in churches over and over again. The Bible also says, let things be done decently and in order. And one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control, which means that we want to have control in everything that we're doing. Now, the Bible also says that everyone in here can receive a gift. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, as you each have received a gift, minister it to one another. Use those gifts to minister to the people that are around you. So we have received gifts, and each of us have. And if you haven't, I want to say, don't be afraid to receive whatever gift God has for you. You might be listening to me up to this point. You're going, okay, so the gifts of the Spirit, and you're talking about tongues, and so I might pray and God might give me tongues, and then I could go to McDonald's and order my food in tongues, and how's that going to look? Well, remember, the gifts of the Spirit are under the control of the person who receives the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to say there's generally two reasons why I see that people are afraid to receive the gifts of the Spirit. Number one comes from people who don't believe that the Spirit works this way anymore. And there's a Christian urban legend. Now, I want to say this. I've been guilty of using urban legends, Christian urban legends, as if they're reality. I'll tell the story from the pulpit only to read later on that it's not really true. It's just an urban legend. And I kind of like, I'll never do that again. Or I maybe need to correct myself. So that does happen. But there's a Christian urban legend that a guy was at a church and they started speaking in tongues. And he knew their language, the language of the tongues. And he heard them cursing God in the tongues. And so then the warning is given by pastors who are warning people not to pray in tongues or not to ask for the gifts of the Spirit. The warning is, don't you ask for the gifts because you might curse God in an unknown language. To which I say, hogwash. How will you ever present yourself to God and say, God, I want you in my life and I want everything you have for me and I want to be filled with your Spirit. How is God going to allow you to be possessed by a devil that will cause you to curse God? The Bible says, if you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, for which of you, if your child asks you for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Could you imagine the dad who would do that? Dad, I want some eggs. Yeah, a little joke, you know. Here you go, kid. There's a scorpion. Ah, scorpion on the plate. The kid would be traumatized for life. He said, or which one of you, if your child asks for a loaf of bread, do you give him a rock? A little practical joke. Here, kid, gnaw on that, crack, right? He says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to you? I am never afraid to open up my life to everything that God has for me. In fact, I want it all. I want everything God has in my life for me because I want to be as effective in what I'm doing for Him as I can possibly be. And I don't want it to be by my own ability and power. I want it to be by the ability and the power that God supplies. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid that God's going to give me the gift of tongues and that I might curse God with it. I just think that that is a bizarre, fearful way to try to persuade people to stay away from the gifts of the Spirit for whatever reason, because of their own theology. Now, number two, on the other end, people don't want the spiritual gifts because of YouTube. They've seen way too many weird services. You go on YouTube, you type in Holy Spirit or tongues, and you get a myriad of strange, bizarre things that are happening in church and then blamed on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has done this. And so you say, I am not going to pray for the gifts of the Spirit because the next thing you know, I'm going to be, you know, growling like a lion or acting like a giraffe or you know, some kind of a weird bird. Let me say this. I've already quoted some passages that should speak to us about that, that everything's to be done, the Bible says, in the context of spiritual gifts, decently and in order. Now, that isn't always done. And I want to say, when I'm talking about Pentecostal and charismatic churches that do this, and although we believe in all of the gifts of the Spirit, we are not part of the Pentecostal or charismatic movement. It's just not who we're a part of. We believe in the gifts the same way that they do. We're just not a part of those particular movements. When I talk about them, I'm not painting with a really broad brush. I realize that there are some Pentecostal and some charismatic churches that do things decently and in order. So just because we talk about those that don't doesn't mean I'm talking about a church that you belong to or a church that you were at. So don't get mad at me if it doesn't apply. If it doesn't apply and you go, well, my charismatic church did things in order. Great. Praise God. I know they're out there. All right? But there are also those that don't. And if you go, well, that's my church, they don't do it. Well, then the shoe fits. Then wear it. Then I guess be mad at me because I talk about these things. But nevertheless, what happens is that there's such bizarre things that go on, and we could, you know, I've seen them. I remember I was part of Pentecostal and charismatic churches, both of them, for 4 or 5 years of my life. So I am talking from experience when I talk about these things. I'm not talking about things that I heard about. I'm talking about things that I actually went and sometimes even did. All right? I am very familiar with this particular topic. But when people see those things that are happening, they go, I'm not going to invite the Holy Spirit into my life because then I might start doing those things. And I don't want to do those things. Well, listen, first of all, things are going to be done decently and in order if it's the Spirit. It's going to be self-control because that's one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And just because there are weird people doing weird things, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If you didn't do anything because there were weird people doing it, there'd be a lot of things you wouldn't do. For example, if you didn't drive because there's weird people driving, then you wouldn't drive because there's weird people driving. My wife is fond of saying to me, get around them, get around them, get around them, get around them, get around them. Because I think that person's drunk or there's something wrong. You know, that person's just weird. There's plenty of weird people out there, but you still drive. You just cluck your tongue and shake your head as you go by them. Man, I don't know what's wrong with that person, right? So don't be afraid that if you surrender yourself to God and ask Him for the gifts of the Spirit, that God is going to give you something evil, because He's not. Be afraid of that. And don't be afraid, because some people have been weird, to have the gifts of the Spirit operate correctly and properly in your life. There's weird people everywhere. We're weird. I like to say all of us have, you know, weirdnesses. I told a friend of mine that one time. I said, you know, all of us have different weirdnesses. And he said, you, my friend, more than most. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that particular statement. But it's true. We all do have different weirdnesses and different things. And you know, when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I would rather have them and have some mistakes take place than not have them at all. Now, when I was a young pastor, I was very firm. We will never have anything happen that is not completely orderly within our church. And I still feel that way to some degree, but love covers a multitude of sins. And I would rather have us have the spiritual gifts flowing and working and God doing what God's doing instead of not having them and not have the power that comes from those gifts. There's a passage in the Old Testament, Proverbs, that says, where the stall is empty, where there's no ox, there's no mess. And then it says, but great strength comes from the ox. In other words, if you don't have an ox, then you don't got to clean up any doo-doo. That's a good thing. But you also don't have the strength that comes from owning the ox. In other words, hey, you know what? Take the strength from the ox and clean up some messes once in a while. No big deal. You know, we're big enough to handle that, aren't we? When we walk in love towards one another, then love covers that multitude of sins, and we're able to encourage and strengthen and correct and receive correction if we need to receive those things. So I am not worried about those particular areas. Now, having said all of that, let's see what Paul has to say about the gifts of the Spirit in verse 4. First of all, remember, he talks about in the first three verses, us being living sacrifices. So we realize that to be used by God means that we're going to have to make some sacrifices. Having said that, we pick it up in verse 4. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function." If you have a highlighter or a pencil, underline, circle, highlight the word function. We have many members, but one body. We all have different functions. Now, we're all made up. We're all individuals here. But there's a unity that God has given us. We are unified in Christ. And in fact, I believe that there's a unity that goes beyond these walls. It's not just Calvary Chapel that's unified. We're unified with other churches. And every once in a while, there'll be someone who wants to try to bring the churches in Tucson together and unify them. And they'll usually make statements like this: "We can't do all that God wants us to do until we're unified." You know, I really disagree with that particular statement. God does what God's going to do in spite of the fact of whether or not churches are unified. But I also believe that churches are already unified. We're just different brigades. I use the example or the analogy of an army. You have an army that goes to take a certain area, and you've got different units that are out in different areas. Each unit doesn't have to be talking about what the other unit is doing because there's someone in headquarters that's coordinating everything that's going on. Jesus is in the headquarters. We are the unit that's out in the city, and there's other units that are communicating with headquarters. I don't got to communicate with them, although I don't mind it. I don't mind doing things together with other churches. I just don't want us to be told that we can't do what God wants us to do unless we get together with other churches. And the problem that I have with these unity movements often is that they eventually end up bringing in cults. There's usually groups, hey, if they believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, if they believe in the virgin birth, the deity of Jesus, the resurrection, if they believe in salvation by faith and faith alone, we may disagree on minor points, but on those major points we agree. I have no problem doing things with them. But inevitably, they bring in a group that is just too bizarre, and we don't want to be identified with them. And so that's killed a lot of these unification kind of movements because they don't want to say to a certain group, no, you can't be involved in this. It needs to be those that have these particular qualifications. And then who's the one who chooses what those qualifications are? But we are one body. Here's what I believe. We are already unified. Years ago, I was playing on our baseball team. We had a Friday night baseball team. I think we still do. I just don't play on it, which some are very happy about that. And I got there early, and the team that was in front of us was Sun Life Chapel's team. They're a church that's out on Grant. Gil Garcia is a good friend of mine. He's been a good friend of mine for over 20 years. And when I showed up, they said, "Can you play on our team?" They were short. I think Gil was the one that was missing. And I said, "Yeah, sure, I'd love to." And they weren't so happy once they saw me play, but they wanted me to come on, and I did. And I played our first inning, and then we went back to the dugout. And we got in the dugout, they said, "So what church do you go to?" And I said, "I go to Calvary." And they were genuinely excited. Here they are from Sun Life Chapel. They hear that I go to Calvary, and they're really excited. "Wow, that's great. We love the church." Why were they excited? Because they knew that we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture the way that they do. They knew that we believe that salvation is by faith the way that they do. They knew that we believe in the virgin birth and the resurrection and the deity of Jesus the way that we do. And so there was a unity already. We were unified. And I love how excited they were that, you know, I had a love for Jesus and that they had a love for Jesus. Now, eventually, one of the guys goes, "Oh man, I love your pastor," which I was really glad that he said that he loved the pastor instead of "we hate your pastor." Love Calvary, what it stands for, but your pastor, man, whatever. And eventually, after saying that, and I said, "Oh yeah, yeah, great. Yeah, me too." And after saying that, he says, "So what's your name?" And I said, "Robert." And he goes, "Robert who?" "It's Robert Furrow." And they go, "I knew it, and you were the pastor there." It's all right. But I love the fact that we are already unified. So it says, for we have many members in one body, that's the unified body, but all the members do not have the same function. And we understand that if we put it in a corporate setting, what corporation has everybody doing the same exact thing? It would be an ineffective corporation. All the employees in the corporation have different functions. You could go with a law firm. If everybody in the law firm were a secretary, you wouldn't get much done. If everybody in the law firm were lawyers, you'd get nothing done. If everybody, and you could go on. You could use any analogy that you want to use. A hospital, if everybody were doctors, you wouldn't get much done. If everybody were nurses, you wouldn't get much done. You have to have everybody working together with the different functions that they have. So it is with the church. There are different functions, and all of us have them. I don't know what your function is. I got a pretty good idea of what mine is, but I don't know what your function is for the most part. Some of you I do. I know you good enough to know what the function is that you have, but I also know that some of you aren't using the function that God's given you. You aren't involved for whatever reason. Part of this message is to encourage you to use what God's given you. Look at verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, that's the unity again, and individual members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given. We have gifts that are given to us by grace. Now, this is important for us to understand because you will read books and hear messages that the way that you receive the gifts of the Spirit is by merit. You got to go out and you got to do certain things in order to get the gifts, and then God's going to reward you with the gifts of the Spirit. That's not grace. If you have to do something for the gifts, that's not grace. Grace is when you receive it and it is undeserved favor. In fact, you don't even have to be mature. Did you know that? You could be born again today, a brand new baby Christian, and receive gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said to them, very impressive statement, you guys fall behind in none of the spiritual gifts. They used all of the spiritual gifts. But then he says, I wish I could talk to you as too mature, but I can't because you are babes in Christ. He tells them, you're a bunch of babies. Now, Paul had the right to do that. He was the one who founded the church. You could talk to him that way. He says, you guys aren't mature, you're a bunch of babies, but they had every spiritual gift that they could have. No wonder the church at Corinth was a mess with the way that they were applying the spiritual gifts. So it's not about being mature. It's not about merit. It's not about what you do. It's about the grace of God giving you gifts. How do you receive the gifts of the Spirit? By God's grace. You ask for it and you receive it. In the book of Acts, people received the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit in many different ways. They laid hands on some and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They prayed for some, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They had prayer meetings, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They preached, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They went out to do the work God called them to do, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. We get into a rut, we put God in a box. Well, here in Acts, they laid hands on them. So that's the only way that the Holy Spirit can fall upon people is if you lay hands on them. You know what I found? God doesn't like our boxes. God doesn't like it when we put him in a box. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but whether or not you put God in a box, God does things the way he wants to do it. It's like those that put God in a box with salvation. They say, well, the rich young ruler was saved by the law. That's the only way people can get saved. Really? What about the guy on the cross? Jesus didn't reference the law at all with the guy on the cross, and yet he got saved. How about God can do what God wants to do? How about he can save people the way he wants to save them? How about he can fill people with the Spirit by his grace and however he determines to fill people with the Spirit? Then he says, in the middle of verse 6, let us use them. You've been given gifts. You've been given functions within the body of Christ. That is the position that God has for you. Then actually use the gifts that God's given you.
We hope that Practical Christian Living helps you to live God's Word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, That's JULIAN Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.